Yeah, struggle's gone on through the entire month of April, and the best that the Blue Jays can do to finish out the month, the first month of the year, is a record of 8-17. It's not very good by my math, or any math, really. It's Dan Riccio on the Sportsnet Hot Stove across the Sportsnet Radio Network. David Singh, Garrett Joyce with us here this morning. What do you do when a season goes so horribly wrong so quickly? It's akin to losing like the first 10 games of a National Hockey League season. How do you, it doesn't matter what expectations you had coming into the year, you could not have possibly expected a 25 winning percentage or whatever they're at right now.
I didn't think it was possible to lose in more demoralizing fashion than they did in St. Louis during the doubleheader, but they found a way last night. I mean, Stroman pitches well all night, and he in the bullpen gives up 3 home runs in one inning. And just watching Grilly was excruciating for me. Seeing him labor out there, battling his command, watching hitters go deep in the count, foul off pitch after pitch. I mean, he looked gassed. He was even muttering to himself. And it was bad optics, and the fans let them know as well.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember 100 loss Jays teams.
Yeah.
And like I enjoyed going to those games. I mean maybe I'll find a way to enjoy going to 100 loss Blue Jay team this season.
Or there's no beer lineups there.
Easier to get tickets.
Yeah. No, it has gone sideways, and when things go sideways, you look for ways that it might, you know, rebound or refract or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I look at Jose Bautista, I don't see him turning his season around in a big way. When I look at Osuna, you know, I'm wondering, like, was that it? You know, have we seen the best that we're going to see of him? Like, for him to try and find his velocity in mid-season, I don't think that's happening. I mean, you just embrace baseball for what it is, and you know, you can start thinking about how they'll retool, but the cycle has wound down, and I do think people thought this season was the end, the last season of a window anyways.
Right.
And really, it was 1 year sooner than a lot of people thought.
And it's a sad reality to come this early in the season. But, you know, it's not hard to get into a wild card race. Like the second wild card, you have to be around 500 to get there. It's easier when you paint it that way. But if you paint the picture as, you know, we have to win 60% of our games to get to, you know, 88, 89 wins for the year, then that becomes a more daunting task. You know, it's how you talk yourself into it. And I know the players will just say, yeah, we're taking it one game at a time. We got to pull ourselves out of it. But the reality is of the situation is you've dug yourself a hole. You can ask the Houston Astros of a year ago that's started 7-17. It's probably a hole too big to climb out of. And that becomes, then comes the questions of selling off, right?
Yeah, Fangraphs gives them a 12% chance to make the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty rough.
That's higher than I thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the clip that they have to play with. And that's the thing. Do you think they're capable of being one of the best
teams
in baseball?
Not with this lineup they're running out right now.
Even to begin the season. I mean, to play at a 600 clip, that's, I think,
only the
Cubs
did it last year.
So do you think the Jays, fully equipped, all cylinders going, are that good?
And it's going to be hard to do when you're successful, you know, in 1 out of 3 save opportunities.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
you're going to have to win a lot of games by double digits, you know. It's a non-starter. I'm shocked that it's as high as 12%.
Yeah, and you know, the bullpen is a big reason for that, where the record's at right now. They have 8 blown saves here in the first 23 games of the season. Right now, ERA-wise, they are the 6th worst bullpen in the league with a 5.31 ERA, and
that flatters them.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know which guy you're okay throwing out there. Like Joe Biagini had a blown save earlier in the week. Jason Grilli seems to do it every time he's out there right now. Roberto Osuna inspires zero confidence when he gets out on the mound these days. And that's the one guy that you thought, well, he's the anchor. You know, if he's not going, then what? And this is what the team was kind of built on, is pitching and defense. And they're certainly not hitting. And if the pitching isn't there, then yeah, you're going to be losing a heck of a lot of games.
With Osuna, it's frustrating too, because in comments to the media, he's adamant that he's healthy. And if he is healthy,
the radar gun suggests otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth considering. Maybe this is just an intense bout of struggles. I mean, it's his first real extended period since coming to the majors that he's had to deal with struggles. I mean, dating back to September of last year through the WBC, he had a start and stop spring training, so that can't help. But yeah, you wonder if it's confidence for him as well.
I don't see it turning around in time for them to play 600 baseball. Like, and he'd have to be a major part of them even just playing 500 baseball the rest of the way. And I don't think that that's happening either.
Well, the thing for me and is, you know, Gary, you mentioned that this was probably the last year of the window. And yeah, it certainly was, because you look at the way that they went about their offseason, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, seeing the reality of the situation, knew that, you know, with the way the minor league system was and all the talk of wanting to get younger and more athletic and all that jazz, you can only do that if you have assets to move, or you have minor league guys coming up through the system that you like and are ready to play in the major leagues, none of which the Blue Jays really had after all the trades that they made in the past. So when you think of that, it's the Blue Jays putting around Band-Aids to a roster that they're trying to keep competitive at the same time as they try to bring in the next crop of the future, which I think the guys have done a pretty admirable job of that with Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Lourdes Gurriel and some of the guys they've brought in, but it's going to take time. And trying to put Band-Aids over a roster that is by far the oldest in Major League Baseball, you know, it's not going to be easy. It never was going to be easy.
How bad would the picture look right now if before last season the Jays had extended Bautista? You know, if we're looking at another 3 years of this, right? Yeah. So in a way, they deserve credit for some things that they didn't do. You know, there are some things that they didn't do that they should have done, but certainly, you know, when you think of Bautista putting his number on a napkin, you know, like, please, I mean, really, you could have written that number on toilet paper. Yeah. You have to embrace change, I guess, if you're going to be a fan going forward. And we'll see young guys come up, maybe who aren't ready and maybe who won't ever really be full-time major leaguers. We'll see. You have to hope that they're lovable, right? If you're going to have a losing team, let them be lovable.
Well, for your sake, you hope that Jose Bautista turns it around to a certain extent, that he has some trade value, because if he stays this way, he's got zero trade value. And that's kind of what you're looking at. I mean, the Yankees are a prime example. They're 14-7 right now. They're tied atop the AL East, and sure, early things in the season, still a long way to go, but that's a team that gotten old. They've managed to stay competitive through the years, albeit because they have a whole whack of money and a whole lot of aging, really good players. But it's still, they are the prime example of how to kind of meddle, or how to mend the fence so that you keep it going where you're competitive. But you also traded off a bunch of assets that could see the rebuild starting quicker rather than later. You don't want to be the Astros or the Reds or the Brewers or the Phillies. You know, you want to kind of start the train moving in the rebuild direction before it just completely collapses, which it looks like it may have done here early this season. And I think that's the hard part for the Blue Jays. But this upcoming trade deadline, should things not get any better, and they'd have to get a lot better for you to change your mind on selling some pieces, you hope that you can bring in enough pieces that, or guys that are close enough to the major leagues that you can make things happen quickly here, Dave.
Yeah, you talked about the Yankees rebuilding on the fly. I think the Jays do have the pieces to at least look in that direction. They have Stroman looks great this year. He's on pace for 230 innings. That's Roy Halladay territory. I'm not comparing him to him, but he looks like a solid starter. You get Sanchez going. That's two great starters at the front of your rotation for next year. I think it is worth considering. Maybe, do you want to say Donaldson? I don't know. But look at what the Yankees got in return for two relievers, Chapman and Miller. They completely revamped their farm system, and they got guys who are at the center of their building plans going forward. So imagine what you can get for a season and a half of Donaldson if they're willing to be that bold.
Yeah, I wonder what the value, I mean, the value should be high for Donaldson, but given the way the free agent offseason went with aging sluggers, you wonder what, you know, teams would be willing to offer and trade for a Josh Donaldson. You know, the flavor of the week right now is bullpens, and that's why the Yankees were able to sell off Chapman and Miller for such incredible pieces. The not flavor of the week is aging sluggers who can't seem to stay on the field. And even though Donaldson has had a whole lot of seasons where he has been able to stay on the field, and he's been a great 30. Player, and he's an MVP candidate year in and year out, people are still going to paint him with the brush of, that's a guy we're going to have for a year and a half, and then we don't know what to do with him.
He is only 31, and I think there are teams that would be attracted to him. He's the kind of guy, even going back to the series in Cleveland, against Cleveland last year in the ALCS, there was that one game when he kind of just took control all by himself, if you remember, and just put on, he's a fire starter. He's one of these guys that can really make a difference in your team. And I'd take a Donaldson.
Yeah, he's been the best player in the AL behind Mike Trout for the last three seasons.
Yeah, I think there are teams that would have an appetite for that. I think the Mets, who are in win-now mode with their pitching, they have to win soon. They don't have time to worry about 2 years from now. I think they're a team that could be attracted.
And when one injury changes the chemistry completely, if you have one of these, one of the contenders who think that, you know, we have a chance of winning the series this year, and then they have a bat go down.
Cespedes just went down for the Mets.
Yeah. So, I mean, you might actually have an auction rather than a deal, and, you know, and that's completely doable.
Yeah, and it's crazy that we're having these talks just 1 month into the season, but that's just how bad it has been for the 6-17 Blue Jays. And
that's like saying, you know, we shouldn't head down to the bomb shelter, you know, one month into the war.
Yeah, it's been gross. And the Blue Jays, they got to turn it around at some point, I guess. You can't be this bad. No teams are really under 30% bad, you know, under 30% winning percentages through the year. So things are going to get better if that's the cherry that you want to put on your Blue Jay watching through the year.